Next Step number 627, June 11, 2020.
Hi, this is Susie with In His Shoes Ministries welcoming you to the Next Step with Father Vazgen. Since 2008, we have been producing these podcasts on a weekly basis for those who are seeking practical and deeper applications of their faith and spirituality in their lives today. There's no need to check your brain in at the door. Armadoxy is a practical approach to melding spirit and passion in the real world. These podcasts are part of the expanding vision of the In His Shoes Ministry and provided by epostle.net, apostolic evangelism for an electronic and expanding universe. So turn up the volume and get ready to take the next step.
12 years and we still haven't figured it out. Welcome. Can you believe it's been 12 years? Today we finished 12 years of broadcasting The Next Step continuously every week, once a week for 12 years. Still haven't figured it out. Last Sunday morning, getting ready for church services. And you know, Sunday mornings are kind of special to me because they're a time where you know you're going to go on. In other words, you're going to be in front of people. But then now we're in COVID, so you know that the people are not going to be there. So you're going to be on in a different way. And then, surprise, surprise, you find out that, you know, they're not even going to be streaming from where you're at. So here it is, Sunday morning. The world's kind of gone upside down for us. We have 3 months of the COVID-19 virus that's hit the entire world. Then for the last 2 weeks, since the murder of George Floyd, we've been under demonstrations, protests, which have also brought in a share of violence, a share of destruction and riots. And I know people want to say that, you know, these are peaceful protests, and the rioters are different. Absolutely. Let it be plain and clear. I agree. They are completely different people. And people who are rioting out there, people who are out there looting, let's say these pirates that are going out there and looting, they have no interest in the protest or the demonstration. But let me say this also. Let's not fool ourselves that you get the attention of people when there is some kind of act of beyond the peaceful means of protest. In other words, think about the entire idea of protest here in the United States. The United States of America is built on protest. We protested against the crown. We found our independence from the crown, from England, based on a protest which took place, which ended up making the 13 colonies. But remember, there was incidents such as the Boston Tea Party. Yeah, Boston Tea Party was destructive. There was a tea tax, and they said, no way, and they took the tea and they just dumped it. And, you know, I'm just saying this, that sometimes we have a tendency as we look back on history to make it look the way we would want it to look. And I think that's good, but be conscious of it. Yeah, I do think it's good, yeah. I think some of history is horrible, and it's good that sometimes there is some kind of a goodness to it, that you find some goodness, but be conscious of it too. I know I'm going to get a bunch of people that saying, oh, well, rewriting now. You know what? Believe it or not, history is always rewritten, and it's rewritten by the winners. Case in point, look at Turkey, right? Inside of Turkey, you find many people who have grown up never, ever, ever have heard of the Armenian Genocide. And this is true. We ran into so many people like that. We're just astonished that something like that happened. Well, because, you know, the victor gets to write the history they want to. But in the case of these demonstrations that are taking place here in the United States, it has given us a chance to really think about inequality, to think about racism, to think about these hard, hard issues, which are not pleasant issues, are not issues that we want to confront. Now, I'm going to be talking a little bit about that. In fact, today we'll talk a lot about what's been going on in this country. But I'm bringing this up because last Sunday I'm sitting there getting ready for church and all the things that I want to say. And, you know, I realized that I'm not going to have an audience. I mean, it's a real weird thing. I mean, you know, because of COVID-19, there's nobody in the church. And then they're telling you, oh, by the way, the church that you're at has no stream. They're not going to be streaming. Okay. And so the ear doesn't make a sound. If a priest preaches a sermon and there's nobody to hear, is there any sound? Is there a message? Is there a sermon? You know, what am I going to do? So anyway, I preempted all of this philosophy by saying that, you know what, I'm making a decision. Took out my phone and did a little video. I sat in front of my Facebook page and I broadcast. I spoke about what I would be talking about that day in my sermon. And I called it a pre-sermon talk. Now, I made the big mistake of in that talk saying that this is the first time I'm doing something like this. So I got people who responded like, hey, you should keep it up. That's pretty good. You know, that's really good. Why don't you go on social media? I think, oh, man, even if you don't know me, I mean, did you go down the page and just see all the stuff that we do? Anyway, we'll try to forget about all that. I meant that this was the first time that I tried to do a pre-sermon video. Just a candid talk. And I was shocked. I was shocked at the numbers that I saw immediately, the number of people that were not only viewing it, but sharing it, the comments that I was getting from people. And here's the funny thing that I think you next steppers will appreciate. If you haven't seen it, I'll put a link on today's show notes. You can see it. But here's the funny thing. It was no different than what I do every week on The Next Step. And that's why I said it's been 12 years and I still can't get used to this thing. It was no different than what I do on The Next Step. And yet people were like, oh, wow, this is great. Where have you? Why don't you do this all the time? Yeah, okay, I do it all the time. So welcome to the last episode of 12 years of broadcasting The Next Step. And we are in a very unusual time that's giving us an opportunity to really think about who we are, what we're doing. And I want to talk a little bit about the protest and the demonstrations, but in a very unusual way, in an unusual fashion, one that you've come to expect here on The Next Step. And I say this because I think you as Next Step listeners kind of are more in tune with the way I operate. And you'll appreciate what I have to say. I'm going to do that right after the song. We'll do that in the second portion. I think you're really going to appreciate what I have to say. But for right now, I am reflecting. This is the last of the first 12 years, we want to say. This is 12 years. This completes 12 years of every week since 2008. June 18, I believe, was the first one that we put out. And we've been putting it out ever since. It gives you a chance to reflect. And in that reflection, you start thinking about what are we doing? Where do we go from here? What is the next step? And the next step, I think, is really what we're doing. We're discussing things that are way ahead of the game. I mean, I sit at meetings and this morning, including, where people are talking about stuff that we've addressed so long ago. And you're just like flabbergasted. Like, are we still there? But in that flabbergastration, you like that word? In that moment of being flabbergasted, you start thinking and saying, okay, you know, life is limited. And you can't constantly be flabbergasted. You can't be constantly just shocked that people aren't getting it. You need to be able to say, okay, I need to propel and push myself in a different direction. And, you know, I've come here many times and I've shared with you some of my biggest frustrations. But I think more than ever right now, I do understand that we do have to move forward with the next step. And this is going to be something that I hope next week, as we start our 13th year of the Next Step broadcast, that you will notice. You will notice a difference in format, a difference in flavor. It's something for the last few weeks I've been trying to deal with, trying to put together, because in a sense, there's issues taking place in my life that I want to be able to, as a priest, honestly look at and say that, yes, we are doing the best that we can. Because, you know, as a priest, there is a calling. Now, our archbishop said this the other day, and it gave me a chance to reflect. He says, your calling is not only by God, but it's from the people. This is in the case of army and priests. And I do realize that more than anything, doing the next step. Yes, there is a calling from God to get out there to spread the gospel. But there is also a hurt of the people. And I think when we talk about what we're doing at the next step, it's for the disenfranchised. Well, that's a call from the people. It's for those people who are searching for something new. Well, that's a call from the people. It's for people who are looking for answers and finding them in Armenian Orthodoxy. Well, there you go. That's a call from the people. Our ability to be able to answer that. And I can't thank you all enough for giving me this chance to be able to sit with you every week and share with you some of my biggest and deepest concerns in life. You've made the loneliness that I think many priests feel more manageable, in the sense that, no, it's not a question of like we're isolated or anything, but the ability to talk about these things, to talk about them in a mature manner, to talk and share the idea of the priesthood beyond the usual. Look, I've shared with you many times, you know, one of the biggest frustrations is this idea that you, as a priest, are the official Christian at any gathering. And any of you who have existed inside of an Armenian church know exactly this moment where you'll have a gathering of 200-300 people at a dinner and they look, where's the priest? Where's the dead-eyed? Where's the priest? What do you need him for? He needs to get here. He needs to say the prayer so we can start eating. Bizarre. Like nobody else can pray? Like, what does it take to get somebody to stand up and say, you know, our priest must be busy. Let us all pray together. What does it take? But no. The official Christian has to come into the room and he has to give the blessing. And you may be surprised. You may say, oh, that's really nothing. But it's really pointing to some underlying problems that are inherent in any of these traditional churches. Is the idea that we're not passing along that power, the empowerment of the masses, for people to feel like, yes, this is my church. I can do something. I can do something. Instead, we have too many of the restrictions. Interesting, because today I went to a meeting. We're talking about how we're going to be opening the churches after COVID-19. In the next couple of weeks, some of our churches just opened last Sunday, and next couple of weeks, more and more churches are going to join. And so very big concern is like, how do you address the issues of communion, kiss of peace, plate? Something as mundane as plate collection. Well, you don't realize that plate is touching people's hands and it's moving around, and, you know, that could be contamination. So these are issues that need to be addressed. And, you know, the mask, do you wear the mask or don't you wear the mask? And, you know, the mask has become a political issue now. You know, people who wear it, people who don't, what does it signify? And instead of being just like, hey, you know, it's a necessary preventative for a virus that's pretty nasty, you know. But no, I don't want to be bothered by it. And it's interesting. I spoke with my sister Anush this morning, my wife Susan. I mean, both of them came up with this interesting idea that, you know, it's so obvious. I mean, we impose the veil, don't we? We impose the veil. Well, what's so wrong with imposing the mask? I mean, we fought all these years about what it would, about the imposition of this veil, you know, like, okay. But somehow people feel like very responsible for others to throw and toss the veil on top of each other's heads and move them around. Okay, now how about the mask? Yeah, very easy. Yeah. But when you put it in those terms, you get even more political. So, you know, I'm at a point right now where, you know, the realizing that this next step for me has to be a next step that goes to a different audience and shares what we've been talking about, because there are audiences that are really receptive to it. In the same way, in the same breath, I want to say that the experience that I had on Sunday with that pre-sermon video that and the way it took off, the way it went viral, and no different than the next step, but except for the fact that it was on a different platform. In other words, it was on a Facebook page that that many people were on. It made me realize that somehow we need to bring together these two models. And that's really the key to it. How do we take what we do on the next step and reach a broader audience and really bring about an understanding that there is a message. There is a message that needs to be shared with people. Because the response I got to the video was exactly the response I've gotten for the last 12 years to the next step. But it was all concentrated within one day. Boom! Okay, so it's telling you that there are options out there. This is what I struggle with. So anyway, I think you will be in for, I'm hoping, a nice surprise. And if you're not up for a nice surprise, maybe just me coming back and saying, hey, we tried it, didn't work, but we have some things up our sleeve and we're going to try it. Okay, so welcome to the last next step of the 12th season of the 11th season, and we'll be celebrating our 12th anniversary. Is that right? Or 13th anniversary? Yeah, 12th. 12th anniversary, right. And we'll be starting our 13th year. There you go. Yeah. Whew! I know, we go through this every year, don't we? It's like, because there's no year zero. So the first year of broadcast ends up with the first anniversary. And the second year of broadcast ends up with the second anniversary. So this 12th year of broadcast ends up with the 12th anniversary. Okay, pretty clear. Listen, when I get back after the song, I'm going to be sharing with you something very special. It was actually something I spoke about this week in my news, but it's something that I think you as Next Steppers will get. It's the idea of demonstration and protest, but nothing like what you have thought it to be. In fact, it's going to be a shocking, shocking revelation. Unless, of course, you heard me a few days ago, but I don't think so, because I'll share it with you when we come back. I'm going to play for you a song today that is so uplifting, and it happens to come from a funeral. But wait, let me say that again. I'm going to play for you a song that comes from a funeral that is uplifting. Yeah, this morning, Susan posted a post from CNN about George Floyd's funeral. And in this report, it said, not one reference to hatred or revenge was said at that funeral. It was all about love and justice. The Floyd family, I'm quoting right from the CNN broadcast, the Floyd family lifted up that spiritual, moral banner in the midst of a moment in which we got all of the lies and crime. I got to tell you, I I haven't seen the entire funeral. There was a little part of it that I listened while I was driving. I'm looking forward to sitting down and really kind of absorbing so much of what took place, because it is remarkable for me as a priest. When you see such a tragedy as this, it's very easy, and I've seen many times where entire families will fall apart, rightfully so. Absolutely, nobody blames you. I mean, this is a horrible, horrible tragedy. And yet here we're seeing that praises are lifted to God. And that's what I'm going to play for you today, because this was the one song that I did hear. And I'm driving and I'm listening. My eyes are filling up. This is by Kathy Taylor. And she repeats this phrase, God is with us. And I'm going, wow. It reverberated with me because there is a song that we do during the huskum, or the peace hour, and Nayat Sirov, before Nayat Sirov, it's, what is it, Shnoriames, and it has a recurring verse, Ziyastvadzat Meze, for God is with us, and it's repeated over and over and over. And when I heard this, I mean, in the midst of this tragedy, in the midst of this man being publicly killed, we saw it, all of us watched it on TV as the breath left his body. And here's a community getting together in praise and worship, but not holding back, not saying that, okay, it's okay. No, in fact, it was the protest that came out on it. Anyway, let me play this for you right now. This is Kathy Taylor. It's from the funeral musical selections from that funeral, this particular part, God is with us. It's self-explanatory. Kathy Taylor.
Sometimes life can change suddenly, and you find it hard to even breathe. So used to being strong, now I'm barely hanging on. Y'all, we gotta stand tall, or too many would fall. What would people say if they knew we felt this way? But God gave me this refrain, and I'll never be the same. He reminded me that he was always there.
If you can right now, just sing that last line with me. God is with us.
Come on, church, say amen. Come on, church, say amen. Kathy Taylor.
God is with us. Kathy Taylor from George Floyd's funeral. Wow. Jesus said, I am with you, neither will I forsake you. Ah, powerful, powerful. Even more powerful, considering the atmosphere in which it was presented to a family who had suffered a loss, who were going to say goodbye to a brother. And in the midst of all of their pain and suffering, finding the courage to say God is with us. I contrast this a lot of times with how we within the Armenian church community approach matters of evil and just where we are as a people, rather than understanding the power that God has to console, to help us, to raise us from the condition we're in. We're just quick to say, oh, well, where is he? And here we see a beautiful example of praise. God is with us. I will put a link on today's show notes to the funeral, to this song. Really take some time to really digest some of the stuff that we've been talking about. Digest what's been going on in front of us. There is a spiritual side to all of this protest. And when you understand that spiritual side, I spoke about it last week, but I speak about it more. When you understand that spiritual side, then all the pieces come together. The artist here was Kathy Taylor. This is from George Floyd's funeral musical selections.
White houses in neat little rows contrasting against the sky. Tumble down black shacks over the tracks. Children so hungry they could cry. Chrome, the steel, the metal dream, leaving the teepee to rot. The escapist young mind left behind, saving dimes for community pot. Better get straight.
Okay, I wanted to try something a little bit different because I know people were just being filled with stories of the demonstrations and the protests. And it's gotten to a level here in the United States, at least, where it kicks off every news broadcast. It's the headline on every story. If you're following news feeds, it's just about in every magazine and every news article about the protests, about George Floyd, about racial inequality, about injustice in the world. And what I thought that on WD-168 this week, I'd take a little different approach. And I guess it didn't really click with a lot of people. Some people it did. But for the majority, I think it just kind of like went right over their head. And I want to just share it with you today because I think it's very important that we do make this connection. Namely that I started off my broadcast talking about the demonstrations and protests and then said that we are commemorating from Etchmiadzin all the way to the local churches here in the Western Diocese, the events of demonstration and protests. With the commemoration of St. Hrypsime on Monday, St. Gaiane on Tuesday, and then the deliverance of St. Gregory from the pit, Hor Virab, on Saturday, and the Holy Feast of Etchmiadzin on Sunday. And of course, the idea here was that, yeah, we are going through transitions today. We are seeing protest demonstrations, but this is nothing new. And you want to talk about demonstration, pick up the story of St. Hrypsime. And I think it's important to make these connections because we want to realize that, yes, these are not unique events, but they can have unique outcomes that can be incredibly altering to human history. And I think we're seeing that here right now with what's going on with race relations. But as I've suggested with you last week and through my different broadcasts, it's important that we touch the human heart, that there these things need to be changes of heart. It's much like in 2001 when we took a vow to have a fight against terrorism, a war against terrorism after the bombing of the Twin Towers. And you start realizing that a war on terrorism can never be won, because always there are people who are going to fight and oppose and will bring terror. And likewise, when you talk about an end to racism, an end to injustice because of racism, you realize that unless you can get to the heart of people, yeah, there's always going to be people who are going to be racist, who are going to prejudge people based on their looks, based on their background, based on their skin color. And these tragedies keep happening, whether it's George Floyd, Trayvon Martin before, Rodney King before that, or go back to the lynchings earlier in the century, last century. Go back to what happened during the emancipation of slaves and the time before that. And, you know, you can always find these kind of stories. And each one of them is sort of like a rung in the ladder. And you get to a point where you say, are we ever going to get to the top of that ladder? Are we going to get to a point where we're going to be able to look back and say each one of these rungs was important that we stepped on them because they brought us closer and closer to our ultimate goal? That's a legitimate question. I think certainly we ask that when we're looking at George Floyd, the demonstrations that are taking place, that each of them, that George Floyd now becomes a catalyst for people to start talking about and really bringing about changes in policy and the way we deal with one another. And I was very disappointed when I heard people getting out there and talking about, well, George Floyd, you know, his character was like this and he was this kind. It doesn't matter what kind of character. He became the catalyst because of what happened to him. It became an opportunity for this dialogue to begin. Or let's say continue. Okay. So what I did is I went back to the time of Hrebsen and Gayane. And I want you to think about this for a moment. Those of you who know the story, it's like Hrebsen, a young girl, 15, 16 years old, gets the attention of the king. She refuses his advances, and he puts pressure on her. He tortures her. He actually assaults her, psychological assault, goes after her. She hides out, finds like-minded people in the community of St. Gayane. She finds friends, and together they are all assaulted by the government. And when you start thinking about in these terms, just as I shared with you last week, when George Floyd died of asphyxiation, it was the same way that our Lord Jesus Christ died. And I bring this up because we have to make these connections, that these are nothing new, and we have something to learn, not only from what happened, but also from the outcome. And so when you look at the story of Hrebsen, yeah, she was one of the people who in the early Christian centuries, like so many others, was martyred for her beliefs, was martyred for her gender. Yes, the king assaulted her because he wanted her. He wanted her personally, and she refused the advances of the king. She was persecuted for her beliefs. She found others who had the same beliefs. Together they were persecuted. You had St. Gregory the Illuminator, who gave blessing and prayer and built upon that prayer the opportunity to convert Armenia to Christianity. And, you know, it's interesting. It's not just about a small group of people becoming Christian. It becomes the first Christian nation to accept Christianity as its state religion. Quite different than what happened in Rome, where Christianity was just accepted. Yeah. You know, just like it was okay to be a Christian. Whereas in Armenia, this became the actual state religion. Now, you know, this idea that, well, you can't have a state religion, you have to have freedom of conscience. Yeah, this is all nice today. But in those times, you got to remember the way that people lived, the communities that were there, and the idea of a Christian understanding to life is completely different. And Christianity gave that means by which the Armenian people were able to stay together. For instance, just the very basic creation of an alphabet gave language, gave an ability for writing, gave an ability for language to advance. And so basically Armenian culture was developed out of this need for an alphabet because of the church, because of Christian needs. So it's interconnected, and I've spoken about this, and there's tons of material about this. But what I want to share with you today is that don't discount that what happened 1700 plus years ago to Hrepsime is no different than what happened to George Floyd. In other words, she was killed for who she was. Just as Floyd was killed for being black, the same way Hrepsime was killed for being a woman. A woman who did not respect the law and protested against the law. Much like Floyd, who on that floor was saying, please let me breathe, so too Hrepsime, all she wanted was a chance to live, but constantly persecuted and eventually killed, beheaded. St. Gregory the Illuminator, thrown into a pit, Horvirab. Coming from Horvirab, he then converts the king by healing him from his ailment. And, you know, these stories are so interrelated, it's very important to make these connections. So I tried to do it on my news by sharing that, you know, these are important things because not so much as the story parallels, but the outcome of the story we know. Look at that. We Armenians know the outcome of the story. The resurrection. It's the outcome of the crucifixion. It's the resurrection. Our whole story from Hrepsime all the way till today is one of crucifixion, but always being crowned with resurrection. Now, as an Armenian church, isn't this the premise of Armodoxy? Right? That the Armenian church has something to say to the rest of the world. We have a message here, a message of victory. And just as much as we look at the stories and we look at whether George Floyd or whether Hrepsime, the third century maiden who gave her life for Christ, in both stories, we have sacrificing their lives. Willingly or unwillingly is not the issue, because both of them unwillingly gave their lives. This idea that willingly you gave your life is really, it's nice, it's poetic, but in the final analysis, nobody wants to give up their life. They give up their life fighting. And Hrepsime gave up her life. Again, not willingly. I mean, you don't give up your life. It's precious. You sometimes have to sacrifice and you give it up, knowing that there is no alternative. But how does that differ from what happened to George Floyd? Was there an alternative? With a policeman sitting on his neck, taking the breath out of him. Yeah, giving up your life for a cause that is greater than you. And you say, well, look at the cause that, you know, the different causes. No, they're both in the same league. And you see this small incident that takes place. Small in the sense that it's this huge world, you know, all the events that are taking place. This little incident has enormous repercussions. Just as it did for Hrepsime, it did also for George Floyd. Okay, one person, one solitary life making a difference. And, you know, it comes on you. Hadassah didn't know what the outcome would be. Didn't know that an entire nation would be saved. Didn't know that an entire nation would owe its existence to her simple act. And we really don't know what's going to happen with George Floyd, but you can look at the Armenian experience and extrapolate and say that, hey, wow, Armenians have a testimony to give to the world that there is resurrection, that there is goodness, that fight the good fight, that fight that revolution. That revolution will end up with something great. And over, Armenians show this in their history, and we now have an opportunity to proclaim it rather loudly. So I tried to make this connection with Hadassah and what was happening here in the United States, or what is happening right here. And I think this is very important in the sense that we understand that each of these stories are so interconnected, and all of life is interconnected, one of us with each other. And sometimes we need to be able to make that connection so that it brings purpose and meaning to our lives, but at the same time so that we become a witness to the power of community, of world community, of each of us understanding that when George Floyd went down, that was our brother that went down. So that when you understand that Hadassah, when she went down, that was our sister that went down. Now, you and I can all imagine that we can say that, you know, George Floyd is our brother. We can't imagine a black man looking and saying, oh, Hadassah is my sister. But it should get to that point. It should get to that point where we are cognizant of each other's stories. It's not that the black man would say, no, it isn't. It's that he's not privy to the story. Because these stories do not get out in the proper way. Instead, they are brought to us in the form of some history that has no relevance to our lives today. These stories are incredibly relevant to our lives today. And when we find that relevance, when we make that connection, when we connect those dots, that's when our story, that's when our faith becomes real in our lives. You know, many times we look at negativity, we look at negative events that take place, horrible, tragic events, and we fail to see that they're against it. Just like science tells us, to every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction, that there is a reaction on the other side that warrants our attention. It needs to grab our attention so that we understand that there is a balance, there is a harmony in the universe. Sometimes think about it, you know, when we see this man who killed, who sucked the life out of George Floyd, it's easy to hit our attention on that. Can we see how the Floyd family reacted in their ability to transform that crucifixion into an opportunity for us to have this national conversation and for all of us to be able to be a participant in that? I think about that many times when we look at somebody who's done horrible thing. And yeah, we can take our attention on that. Are you looking at the other side of that horrible thing? A person who does some evil to another person, and that other person forgives them. Are we able to stop that moment and talk about the forgiveness that that person has shown, has shared, and how great that is? Sure, we can look at the negativity, but look at the positive things that are coming out of this. And I know that's very difficult. It's very selfish in a sense, because you're saying that, okay, these people had loss. But that's why I'm talking about this particular incident, because these people, in the midst of their loss, they're able to take it with the element of faith. They're able to take their faith and make that faith real. And that's what we're being called to do right now. That's been the point of the next step. That's what Armodoxy is about. You know, we have faith that's in the textbook. We have history faith. We have faith that sounds good, that has good music. But faith has to be an action, has to be an opportunity for us to transform not only our lives, but the lives, the life in which we find ourselves. In other words, the community in which we find ourselves. What happened to George Floyd is a horrendous tragedy. It is a mark in time. It is a time where we're going to be looking back and saying, that event happened. Now, how we transform, how we move forward is really important. Same thing with Haripsimeh. What happened in her life? Horrible event. But how do we move forward? And now that we've seen that forward after 1700 years, can we look back and say that, yes, there is a direction that we can follow? Can we follow that direction? I've been seeing throughout the week different things. Today's basic news has been coming out about trying to do away with any expression or any memory of the Confederacy. Remember earlier today I spoke about how we change history, how we rewrite history, and now there's this effort to do away with the Confederate flag, for instance. NASCAR, which is a famous circuit of race cars, they've outlawed the Confederate flag. In other words, the Confederacy, which slavery was prevalent, it was acceptable. How can we now have the Confederate flag flying? And there's many people who like to fly it and enjoy flying it for whatever reason there is. And I put myself in the shoes of the people who are looking at this. And how would I feel if I had to exist and work under the flag of my oppressor? For instance, you know, very unusual for the Armenian people in Turkey, because much like, say, for instance, like in Rwanda, where after the genocide of Rwanda and the Tutsis and the Hutus had to live together, these two made up tribes had to live together. And so you had this unusual situation where the victim of the crime had to see the perpetrator of the crime every day. And I always think about Armenians living in Turkey. You have to see the Turks every day. And how would you feel working and operating under the Star and Crescent, that same symbol that brought down your country, that killed over 1.5 million of your brothers and sisters, and yet you're asked to exist under that, work under that? And yeah, so now, yes, putting my feet in the shoes of others, I can understand, yeah, how that Confederate flag might bother people. And you know, like, I'll be honest with you, I'm sure many of you have done this too. You walk into a store and you see an item that you like, and you know, you notice where it's made, and then you say, well, wait a minute, and I don't really feel like supporting the manufacturer of that. Specifically for me, there's been a couple times in my life, not too many, but you know, I've walked into a store, saw something that I like, a shirt, for instance, and you pick up the tag and it says product of Turkey. I've put it back, and I know others who have too. And I know my $20, my $30 is not going to make or break the store or make or break Turkey. That's not the matter of it. It's a matter of principle. You know, this is a group of people that have caused genocide and refused to acknowledge it, have inflicted incredible pain upon my people. Why would I support them? Or today they're talking about, like, changing the names of some of the forts or taking down statues. Well, yeah, these are symbols. These are symbols. You know, it's like the flag, it means something more than the material with which it is made. They are symbols, and some of these symbols hurt. Some of these symbols have been flying around. It's like a swastika. You see a swastika, it means something else. It's not just a few lines coming together, perpendicular and parallel lines crossing one another and forming that swastika. No, it means something specific. When I see a star and a crescent, it means something specific to me. In the same way, the Confederate flag, or say, like, a statue. Those of us who have memory of the Soviet state lived there, and you remember those statues that they'd have of Vladimir Lenin. Remember, they used to call him Lenin Babik, Father Lenin, you know, and right after the fall of the Soviet Union, these statues came down. It's not about the metal, it's not about the artwork, it's about what they symbolize. and there are symbols. And so, yeah, in a sense, when I tell you about the changing of history, there are people that need to rewrite and talk about some of the positive things. Now, this goes against conventional wisdom where we're talking about getting everything straight. But everything has an angle. You like it or not, everything has an angle. And it's as simple as just looking at the way a story is written and the way things are said. The adjectives that are used to describe somebody. The people who run a race. And there's two people in there, right? This is an old Soviet statement. Here's a second example of Soviet state. I've shared this before, right? Two men on a race, the American and the Soviet. And the American wins the race. And in all the United States newspapers, it says, Americans win race. You know, two people in the race, right? In the Soviet newspaper, it says, Americans came second to last, while Soviet came in second place. It's the same story, right? There's only two people. Second to last means you're the winner. But the way you say it, it matters. And that's what we're seeing right now. The way we're saying it. And I'm sharing this with you today because we are really in a very special time in history where we're watching things unfold. In many ways, this has been the gift that I was given some 12 years ago to be able to walk through these steps of history every week and share with you some of these insights, some of these stories, some of these reflections from my life. And I can't thank you enough for letting me do that with you. So we end this 12th year of broadcasting The Next Step with this reflection of how we stand today in the face of history that is unfolding, and most importantly, is always unfolding. With our participation or without, it's really up to us. Let's take a break right now. Here's Susie to make her announcement. I'll be back in a few moments to share some parting comments with you.
Hi, Susie here again, reminding you that The Next Step is made possible through your prayers and generous donations. We invite you to check out our extensive archive about applied spirituality and Christianity for just about every life situation. You'll find past podcasts on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Blueberry, and of course at the In His Shoes website. We're proud to have these podcasts available to our worldwide audience, with listeners added daily. To become a partner of this ministry, please consider donating by pressing on the donate button on our website. Your monetary contributions goes to maintain and further this dynamic mission, bringing the message of Armadoxy into the lives of a waiting world. Let us know if you'd like to sponsor a series of podcasts by dropping us a note at feedback@epostle.net. That's epostle with an E, Apostolic Evangelism for an Electronic World.net. We now return to this week's Next Step with Father Vazquez.
Thank you, Susie, for that announcement. And thank you for your prayers, your love, your offerings, your kind words, your sentiments sent our way. I have some exciting news to share with you. Just this week, we started a series of evening prayers. Every evening, 7:30, you connect with the Western Diocese Facebook page. There is a short prayer service every evening for unique needs. For instance, the needs that are taking place right now, and there's new ones coming up that we're going to be writing about. These are unique, brand new services from the Armenian Church, the Western Diocese. Every week we have priests that are committed to it. So Monday nights, for instance, is prayers for the unemployed. Tuesday for the elderly. Wednesday for healthcare workers. Thursday for the grieving. Yeah, different from just the Hokiankis, but these are for people who have losses. Friday, healing service, Saturday for prisoners, and Sunday for the lonely, people who are struggling with loneliness, a bigger issue than you might imagine in this day and age of communications. Still a lot of loneliness. You can watch these, and they're free of charge, like everything else we do. It's on Facebook. Go to the Western Diocese page. I'm very happy to inform you that with every evening, it's like less than a half an hour each of the services. These services have about 400, 500 people immediately, and within 24 hours have something like 2,000 viewers, and the numbers keep going up and up and up. And to me, this is like, you know, it signals a new time for the Armenian Church. It's saying our relevance is today. And I want to invite you to be part of that. You know, in many ways, you are the catalyst, so to speak, for that, because in these 12 years that we've been doing the Next Step, we've come up with so many ideas and I've shared with you so many of my inner thoughts of the direction we need to take. And we're at a point right now where we are taking those directions. Anyway, I want to also point you to the show notes today, because in the show notes you'll find more information about everything we talked about and certain links that I really hope that you'll take advantage of and you point your browsers to them and read up more about what we've been talking about. Well, that does it for our Next Step today. I want to thank you for listening, and I hope you enjoyed today's show as much as we enjoyed producing it for you. Remember, you can drop us a line at feedback@epostle.net, Apostolic Evangelism for an Electronic Universe. At the end of our 12th year, on behalf of our producer, Susie, and Ken, our technical director, this is Father Voskin, inviting you to join us again next week when we will take the next step.
And now here's the fine print. The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the Next Step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the Next Step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskullness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of epostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience. Not valid with any other offer.
I'm trying to think, but nothing happens.